podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This is a View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Wednesday, the 27th of February, 2019. My brother's birthday. Happy birthday, Jarlath. My name is Patrick Smith. Take a deep breath, everybody. A pulsating, entertaining, exciting weekend between number one and number two in the league. Now, number one and number two in the league were one way and now they're the other way. Your Belfast Giants are top of the Elite Ice Hockey League on, I think it's regulation wins. Anyway, it's a tiebreaker. They share points, a points level with the Cardiff Devils following a four-point weekend where Cardiff left Belfast with 1 point and a lot of hangovers. We are going to be talking with Adam Keefe. We're going to be talking with Jordan Smotherman in regards to your TFAs. And we'll also hear from Aaron Murphy, who'll look ahead to Wednesday night's game of the week in Fife. Before we do that, Mr. David McGimsey, how are you?
I'm not bad, Paddy, at all. I had an interesting little visit down to Land's End, somewhere I'd never been. Bit of a staycation.
There's not much there, is there?
Stunning, but
it's lovely.
Absolutely. I don't know if I'm getting old and scenery appeals to me now, but it's just like, I was very fortunate, as you know, last winter to go down to South Africa and you're standing like Cape Point, Cape of Good Hope and stuff. And the view out to the sea and the sunshine, all beautiful, but like just see at home here, United Kingdom, just as beautiful as anywhere.
Down at the point, you've got some lovely places around like St. Just and St. Ives, some lovely little places. No, it's a nice part of the world. Do like a bit of Cornwall. And a man who's no doubt wrecked from the weekend, two very exciting but very entertaining games, is Mr. Simon Kitchen. How are you?
I'm all right, Patrick. I'm okay now. Well, I mean, I was absolutely drained up those two games. God knows how the players felt. You know, they put a hell of a lot more effort into it than I did, but I was just absolutely exhausted.
I don't know, Simon. You're at the top of your game here, you know, getting the comments from all over the world at the minute.
I know, but that just sort of get used to that sort of thing, you know.
It's not like you to be so modest, you know. So,
Are you kidding me, Simon?
Oh, I thought I was pals.
I tell you what, usually on the back end of like listening or watching the highlights and things, I'm also got my ear out for any sort of, you know, soundboard things like this.
Stake on it out to Riley, Riley, yeah! Come on!
You know, but and this soundboard seems to just fill up with Simon Kitchen.
Darcy Murphy! Come on, wee man!
However, I have to say, Pels was outstanding.
Unbelievable, this guy.
I found him very... That's no slight on Mace and Johnny and all the other guys, Davey and all, who join you. But I don't know. I found Pels very entertaining.
He's such a good lad. Like, I mean, he did one game here, and when Laura Small told me he was coming over, he says, Pels is wondering, do you need any hand? Do you need a hand on comms? And Mace was, he had the wee Max at the weekend, so his wife was way out, so he couldn't do it. And I says, you know what? Even though he's chirped us a wee bit this week, get him on. I says, I'll chirp him when we get on the Giants TV and we'll show him a video or something. So, did that, but I thought he was really good. He does his homework and all before he gets in. You know, he's got all the details on the players. He obviously picks up a wee bit of obviously the highlights and they'll put out and stuff as well. And I mean, with living in London, he's only an hour away as well on a flight. So, but the real, real good laugh, and I thought he was great at the weekend.
He also got very excited at the end of the game. Know what I mean? The full thing sounds like this.
What a game. Are you kidding me, Simon? Oh! Oh, man! Oh, what a game! This game had everything. It really did, Simon. It really did. Oh! 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 Fans are elated.
My favorite part of that is where he sounds as if he's forgotten your name, and he just comes back in to make sure he said it. Simon.
Yeah, such a good lad. Top lad.
Yeah. Maybe we'll have him on next week. Maybe have a chat with him. But before that, let's get stuck into the weekend. The Belfast Giants and the Cardiff Devils took on each other for the final time this season in league competition. Two games at the SSE Arena on Friday and Saturday night. Two pivotal games, no doubt, when it comes to the title. Cardiff Devils sitting top at the start of the weekend. Belfast Giants sitting second. Friday night, a 4-2 victory for your Belfast Giants. Dustin Johnner scoring the opener after an absolute stunning move from Darcy Murphy to create, leaving Gleeson Fournier on his backside and dizzy. 3 minutes and 22 seconds into the period, Giants are one up. Joey Haddad scores an equaliser around 10 minutes later. And then into the second period, there were no goals. Into the third, on the power play, Jordan Smotherman, we'll be talking to him later on, not some other man, Smotherman. He scores a stunning power play goal to make it 2-1 off a feed from Higgins and Roach. Gleeson Fournier, shot from distance, makes it 2-2. But Darcy Murphy comes in and, well, we already heard it.
Darcy Murphy! Come on, wee man!
He makes it 3-2. And Blair Riley makes it 4-2. Goalkeepers, Tyler Bescaroani with the win, 31 saves on 33 shots. The other side, Ben Bounds, 27 saves on 31 shots. Your referees, Tom Perry and Tom Darnell, as it was for the whole weekend. We'll give you the stats for Saturday's game as well before we talk about it. 2-1 win in overtime for the Belfast Giants, and it took a lot of overtime to decide it. No goals through the first and second period of a very, very tight game. And then, in the third period, even strength at 6:57, Blair Riley with the opening goal.
Cycling it out to Riley, Riley! Yeah! Come on!
I love how you're losing your voice in that, man. Cardiff, a little over 3-4 minutes later, through Joey Martin. A lovely finish. Makes it 1-1. And so we go to overtime. And what an overtime it was. Not only did it have an unbelievable...
Unbelievable, this guy.
An unbelievable save from Tyler Bescaroani. But the other side, Curtis Leonard has two taps at it. And then Ben Bounds, sort of with his own glove, freezes it, flicks it under his own legs, over the line. It's cleared, or so Gleeson Fournier thinks it's cleared, but it hasn't. It takes Tom Darnell and Tom Perrin quite a bit of time, but eventually they call the goal, and the Belfast Giants take 4 points from the weekend. The Cardiff Devils won. Goalkeepers for that night on Saturday, Tyler Bescaroani, 34 saves, 35 shots. Ben Bounds, 38 saves, 40 shots. Same referees, Tom Perrin and Tom Darnell. I'll start with you, Simon Kitchen. And we'll start with Friday night's game, which the tension coming into the building was palpable, and Darcy Murphy sets us off on a flyer with a pass to Dustin Johnner.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. I knew we were going to win on Friday night. I actually knew we were going to win that much. I got a bit lucky with the scoreline, but I took 4-2 on the scoreline itself. And I honestly didn't think we were going to lose on Friday night. I thought that was we talked about it last week. It's an important game. I was talking to Taff Thursday, Friday, the boys, and Friday morning, and they were all well up for it, absolutely well up for it. You talk about that pass from Darcy Murphy to Dustin Johnner. You'll not see a better pass this season. It was unbelievable. You know, you had it was a great play along.
Unbelievable, this guy.
It was a great play along the blue line by Kyle Bond, who left the puck for Darcy. And you know, we talk about how good Gleeson Fournier is. He made him look like a kid. You know, he literally went around the outside of him, threw it right through the blue paint, and a good finish by Dustin Johnner. I have no idea what Ben Bounds was doing with his right leg at that point, but a great start. And then, you know, again, we know the Devils are a good team. They come back into it. They scored to get back to 1-1. And then Jordan Smotherman scores probably one of the best goals I've seen at the SSE this season. He's just so strong. You know, he puts it between the skates and the stick of Mark Richardson, and then lifts it up over the top. And it was a power play goal, yeah. Just as the 5-on-3 had finished, I think it was, and they had got back to the 5-on-4. But Paddy, honestly, I think this guy's just been immense for us since he's come in. Looking forward to getting a chat with him later. Overall, I thought we thoroughly deserved the win. You know, Cardiff are sitting top for a reason at that point. And they've been a very, very consistent team. Yeah, they've lost a couple of games, as have we. But, you know, our last 12 is 10-2. You're 11 points in a month ago. We're 11 points behind the Cardiff Devils. And to go level with them after a weekend of two real battling games, I think it's testimony to Adam and Rob Stewart and all the boys who how hard they've worked over the last month or so.
Davey, the compete level through the whole game, through the whole weekend, was outstanding from both teams. But especially in that first game, in that 4-2 game, just no matter what the Cardiff Devils were throwing at us, we were able to push back.
Yeah, I think that I'm not a massive fan of giving credit to the opposition, but I think when you look at the league table and you see the two of us with, you know, 74 points and you drop back maybe to the Clan and the Panthers, you're sort of 12, 13, 14, 15 points behind with more games played. You can see that these are the two best teams in the league by a distance, and they slugged it out over the weekend and they went blow for blow with each other. You know, 4-2 game, there wasn't that much in it altogether, but the Belfast Giants, you know, I think the quick start was all important, and we hit the pipes before we scored in the first few minutes as well.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
that would have been an outstanding start.
Yeah, first or second. What was the thing of first shift, but like maybe second rush down the ice or something, you know, and Bounds to me looked a wee bit stiff. I think we said on Friday night, it took a few minutes to get going on the Friday, and by that time we'd got a goal up. You know, as you said, they pushed back really well every time. They just wouldn't go away. Every time we managed to get in front, they pegged us back until late in the game, when I suppose the two defensive errors from, it was a Batch with the first one and Fournier with the second. Through no little, you know, persistence and forecheck from the Giants as well. You know, Dustin Johnner, Kyle Bourne, all good, doing really well in the forecheck, and that allows the opportunity, especially for Blair Riley. But you know, it was just two really good games to watch. But as you say, the compete level from both rosters was just outstanding.
It's that forecheck I was going to move on to next, Simon. You look at Murphy and Riley, both those you could argue, okay, Batch waves at it and he doesn't get it. It's a lapse from him. And if you look at like the social media and the forums and stuff from Devils, there's quite a bit of ire towards the way that he competed and the way he got an assist the next night. But regards to that Darcy Murphy goal, he got quite a bit of back chat from the Cardiff fans. But to give credit to both Murphy and to Riley, both of those goals come from a very strong forecheck.
100%. You know, why they're slagging Josh Batch out is just, you know, they all just need to take a good look at themselves.
One second, isn't it? What happened to Jim Vandermeer the other week? He looked up, you're fanning
him. Absolutely.
That's hockey, it happens.
Listen, you're basically playing at the top level in the UK. You're a defenseman. And, you know, you make a mistake like that and you get punished. 9 times out of 10, you expect your goaltender to basically come up good as well. I thought Bounds was okay at the weekend. I don't think he set the world on fire. But, you know, it happens. It's sport. Mistakes happen. But it was created to happen by us. We pushed them back into their own zone. If you look at their goals, when we scored against them early on, their forecheck straight away picked up. Straight away, Haddad got his goal. We went 2-1 up. Fournier got the goal with the power play. The next night, you know, we scored a great goal through Blair Riley. And you know, you talked about Joey Martin's finish, Paddy. Let me tell you something. That is an unbelievable finish.
Yep.
Absolutely top, top class. Yep. We know how good he is. He hasn't got very much to pick from there. Josh Batch was standing in front of Lynette. Right. In all fairness, how's best goal going to see Aaron? He's a big, big body. But what a finish by Joey Martin. And for Cardiff Devils fans to chirp their own players after a mistake, that's all it was. I didn't see anybody slagging off Fournier.
Yep.
And he made a bigger mistake.
That was a bad mistake for him to leave that puck out like that. It wasn't that difficult. Blair Riley, great forecheck, but Fournier made it easy for him just to strip him of the puck.
Absolutely. You know, they didn't see anybody having a go at Gleeson Fournier because he's got 71 points. You have to protect your British players in this league as well. The guys, you know, they're the first ones that all the coaches are looking around the league trying to get hold of because there's not that many of them about. I would take Josh Batch. Absolutely. 100%. Cardiff Devils fan, don't want him next year. I hope we go after him. I think he's a good player. Big, but I'd rather have him as a forward than a D-man because he makes mistakes. But, you know, I'd rather have him as a forward, absolutely. I think he brings more to the game as a forward, a big forecheck and body. He doesn't mind dropping the gloves. I like him. I really do like him. But back to this weekend's games, you know, if we were really strong down the middle of the weekend, really, really strong, we kept them to the outside as much as possible. We won the battles along the boards on the Friday night. I thought we you know, it was probably 50-50 on the Saturday night. You know, Friday night's game, I thought we turned the puck over a little bit too much, especially in the second period. We were lucky maybe not to get scored on. Besko coming up with a couple of really big saves at crucial times. And, you know, Tyler Pescarani at the weekend was absolutely sublime. He was unbelievable. You touched on that OT save, Paddy, when, you know, he was 3-on-3, obviously. Bedavoglio jumped over him. Besko says he sort of stuck the foot out a wee bit and tried to catch him as he went past him. and then, you know, Bedavoglio was...
What's he going to do?
You know, Bedavoglio, he didn't do much wrong, in fairness. He reached around, just tried to get it on target, which he did. And Besko just drops the paddle down. What? And it was just incredible. Absolutely incredible. And again, I just thought we thoroughly deserved those two wins at the weekend. And that goal, that overtime winner, again, it's all created by Darcy Murphy.
Yeah.
You know, well, he beat Fournier to the puck. You know, Fournier's in position to kick the puck up along the boards. Darcy's flying. He gets past him, picks the boards up. He wins the battle in the corner, drives the front of the net. Lenny, for whatever reason he's doing in front of the net, I don't know, takes a couple of whacks at it, and great to see Ben Bounds put it in his own net. It was absolutely fantastic. And honestly, the two games, if you're watching that sport for the first time, I think you'd be going to get a season ticket for next year. The two of them were absolutely brilliant.
With two massive crowds at the SSC Arena, so it's a credit to Brooksy and Glover and all the guys to get those people in. Davey, you know, Sis has talked a few of the points there from Saturday's game. I think most notably we do have to focus a little bit on Tyler Pescarawani, who may not have been the elite league player of the week and obviously didn't compete as much as Cardiff Finucci did, but in regards to the weekend as a whole, he was just a stonewall.
What was it? I seen the stats guys put something. He was like 944 or something. You can see the three goals on whatever amount of rubber he faced. You know, but it's not so much the percentage effort. It's the key saves at key times of the game on grade A goal scoring chances that he made. You know, it wasn't just routine. Do what you do. You know, at the end of the day, Tyler Pescarani's job is to save pucks. That's what he's paid to do. You know, and you expect him to save more than he'll let in. But it's the key massive saves that he can make that other goaltenders just can't make, that, you know, set him aside as the best netty in the league. And Sam's already talked about that one or two, especially the one in overtime is just sensational.
I will say about that overtime one as well is I thought it was a lovely move from Bentivoglio, a bit of an Ovechkin, you know, falling over, puck on a stick, fires it back on target. And it's a great shot, which if you watch back the replay, and it was pointed out, the Devils on the bench thought that he'd scored. One at least had jumped off to celebrate. So a great shot needs a great save, and that's what it was.
Yeah, I guess if you're on the bench and you see Benty going there, and he's got pretty much, you know, Biscarelli's lying on his back prone, and you've got the whole net to shoot at, and he's getting the shot away, you're jumping on there, you've expected him to score. Unfortunately, he had to do a wheel around and get back on the bench. But, you know, the Giants go down the other end. And then I guess we get to talk about everything that happened next.
So what was your take on that? So we come back to the other side. And as Simon says, you know, you've got Curtis Leonard digging away to try to get it. And then Bounds freezes it. Or I guess he thinks he's freezing it. I guess he thinks he's also picking it up. Because he lifts his hand, the puck's at the edge of his finger, and he just pushes it through his own five hole over the line. Gleeson Fournier sees this happen, tries to clear it, and we've got about 5 minutes at least of, you know, contemplation over the video review from Tom Darnell and Tom Pering before they call a goal. A lot of talk about the laptop being brought down to give a better view. We'll come to Simon that in a second, because obviously with him being part of the Giants TV setup, he'll know a little bit more on that. But Davey, your take on everything that went down there?
Right, I've got a few, you know, I can fight with myself about this. I was talking to Simon about it yesterday as well. The right result happened. They got the goal correct. It was across the line. As soon as it went across the line, there's actually a great photograph from William Cherry, who, by the way, lights out again. Get yourself to the OSC desk and get some of those prints. They're absolutely brilliant. Even Dustin Johnner's goal from the rafters, you know, Darcy Murphy, come on, wee man's goal. And, you know, he gets the one where Tom Darnell's washing it out. Like, from Tom Darnell's angle, he's got pretty much the goal line technology angle. And I suppose Gleeson Fournier's stick has perhaps blocked him from seeing that puck across the line. So we can forgive him that. You see the crowd in the background who are on the goal line, if you like, all pointing, it's a goal. You hear Simon and Pels in the commentary box, who would have had a nice angle on that, actually, saying, it's a goal, it's a goal. So they play on, and obviously they have to come back to the goal line technology. And I believe from the overhead, Gleeson Fournier's stick is kind of blocking as the weather goes over the line. For me, and I tweeted the other day, you look at Fournier's body language and Bentivoglio as he goes to, you know, the heads go down and the shoulders hunch and the stop. They've accepted that it's gone over the line. And then obviously when Darnell washes it out, as I said, it's an honest call from him. You know, they then play on, and at the next break and play, Darnell obviously can hear the crowd going absolutely mental, decides to take another look at it. There's a couple of ways of looking at this, Paddy. If goal line technology, if the diktat from the league is that if it's inconclusive from goal line technology and that's all you can look at, then it should have been washed out. It shouldn't have been a goal. If, you know, we're playing, it's a bit of a homer decision. Like, if that's at the other end of the ice, do Giants TV run down with a laptop? I'm not so sure. You know, so from
not
that
a chance.
So there you go. Simon's going to say, he's going to say it a wee bit more honestly than me. You know, so that's a bit of a homer decision. Should there be a feed in the penalty box from any other angle? I believe there should. I'm happy enough that the right decision was made. And obviously it affects our team a wee bit more than the Devils. So it's hard not to be slightly partisan. I'm glad for the integrity of the sport in such a big game. Which is, you know, it could be season pivotal, season defining, whatever way you want to put it. They got the decision right. However they got to it might be, you know, not quite right according to the rules. So I can see why Cardiff people could be. I was most impressed with Andrew Lord, who said, I've seen it, it was a goal. You know, so from that point of view, he's respectful of the game. Belfast Giants got it across the line, got a goal, good goal, won the game. Fair enough, he's got no issue with that. I can understand why people could be slightly disappointed with the way they got to that decision, however.
Decision-making process, this comes from the Elite League. Each review is subject to the quality of video available in each venue. The referee must see conclusive evidence to overturn the original on-ice call. In situations where the video review is inconclusive, the on-ice decision will remain as the final decision. Arguably, for me, the wording there of subject to the quality of video available in each venue is ambiguous. It doesn't say goal line technology. It says quality of video available at each venue. Simon Kitchen?
Yeah, and the quality we have our video is pretty good. I think that, you know, if that had happened, Davey's touching about, you know, if it happened the other end of the ice rink, would we be rushing down? No, we wouldn't. You know, certainly
we're playing at home.
Absolutely. If you had been asked by the officials, by all means, you know, you let them see it, but I wouldn't be rushing down for it. If it had happened in Cardiff, exactly the same situation, Todd would have been the first person down there with the laptop in his hand running down. He actually would have been abseiling off the top of that gantry. 100%. And we all know that. So, you know, if it happens in Sheffield, exactly the same thing. So, you know, Davey's touched on it. We probably picked up a wee bit of luck, but the bottom line is, it was a goal. It was. We Davies already said it. We had a brilliant view. It's down our end where, you know, we're suite 24 is. You can literally pick the. I didn't have my glasses on, and I could see across the line. Pels knew across the line. Jeff Mason standing in front of us. He's, you know, up on his arm, up on his feet, just basically putting the arms in there as well. Darcy Murphy knew it was in. Higgins knew it was in. Tom Darnell was right there. I think he took a bit of time before he put the arms out and said it was no goal. At that time, I'm already shouting, it's in. But I think he made the right decision. If he doesn't know 100% that it's not in, he can't make that. And just for the second part of it, I thought the officials of the weekend were excellent.
Yeah.
It's not often I say that. I thought they were excellent all weekend. I thought they let the guys, you know, when a penalty needed to be called, they made the call. I thought they were, it was probably the best refereeing performance I've seen at the SSE this season, Backcountry Mile. Genuinely. So that's enough about them. But
well, there weren't many calls. If you look at that, so I know it's enough, but I'll let you come back to it. But I'm just looking at Saturday's game where, you know, it's a battle for the top spot in the league. That's what it is. It's a playoff game and that for the top spot of the league. Most of the penalties, bar one, all took place in the first period. There was a call on Higgy in the second period for hooking. And that was after 22 minutes and 20 seconds of the game, there were no more penalties called.
Yeah. And again, I think they did exactly the right thing. You know, Pels had commented on it saying they're in play. If there was a penalty needed to be called, I think they made the right decisions the whole weekend. You know, Cardiff Devils fans certainly won't be happy with the decision that has been made and the goal being allowed. But the puck was in the net. It was over the line. It's a goal. There's nothing to do about it now. I mean, I've seen some people. Yeah, that guy, Mark Finn, you know, he's, you know, near crying his lamps. I was going to send him a virtual hug. But, you know, just catch yourselves on. It's a goal. But you expect it to be replayed again? Give over.
There were some, I have to say, and this is me being me, but obviously we're going to revel in the victory for the Giants, and we're going to enjoy it. And we're going to have that's the whole thing about winning games like this, that you've got when you do win them, you've got the opportunity to gloat a little, and I gloat a lot. But you look at some of the stuff that you saw, some absolute nonsense coming from Cardiff, including there was enough time to doctor the footage so that the line was wavy. There's enough time to do this. When are we going to replay? Can we replay overtime? Blah, blah, blah. Just it was stuff like that makes it just a little bit more sweet.
It does.
Let me finish. Is that what I will say? Is, and I'll come to you on this, Simon, is because I think you're about to say the same thing. It's only 4 points. It's only one win. It puts us top of the league. Yes, we enjoyed it. Yes, it was a massive weekend for the Belfast Giants and two fantastic wins. Cardiff have a game in hand. We are level on points. There are, 11, 12, 13 games to go. We've not won anything. We've won two games. And now we have to finish out the season convincingly.
Yeah, I said that on a tweet on Saturday night. By all means, absolutely. I mean, I was too knackered to celebrate. I mean, I was due to go out on Saturday night. And I got the after game. I then did the interviews. And I actually had a taxi ordered for 9:45 and I cancelled it. I was just absolutely drained. Seeing the videos and stuff, all the fans celebrating, you know, the one that I think it was Laura Small took it when the fans were walking down in the foyer with Smithy leading the drum and stuff like that. Yes, absolutely. It's very funny and you love getting the 4 points at the weekend. Watching the videos that came out from up in McCool's area and everybody, Giants fans, jumping about like we'd won the Stanley Cup. Guys, this is a long, long way to go. By all means, take your 4 points. We couldn't have done any better at the weekend. Ideally, you certainly wouldn't mind nobody give Cardiff the 1 point to get the overtime. But to be honest, I thought they deserved it on Saturday night. I thought they really, you know, they certainly did push us. I actually thought they had the better chances on Saturday night as well. Best goal was the difference for us. But, you know, listen, I've been involved in this sport for a long, long time. This is far from over. Far from over. We've won nothing yet. Adam would have been telling the boys in the dressing room immediately after the game, guys, get out tonight, get yourselves a few drinks, Jimbo's birthday, I think it was, as well, on Saturday. You know, enjoy the weekend. Back to work Tuesday morning. We have a big game to play on Wednesday night. Forget about the rest of it. This is history. And that's exactly what he would have been, you know, putting across to the players. 100% take the wins when they come along. Davey says it every single time. Don't get too highs in the high. Don't get too lows in the low. A month ago, we got beat twice by the Cardiff Devils in Cardiff. And we're all, you know, coming home going, oh, you know what? Everybody was saying the same thing. Oh, that's it. That's the league done. I didn't think it was. I honestly didn't think it was. And where are we right now?
Davey.
What is the question on the celebrations?
On where we are, yes.
Well, fantastically positioned. If we'd have been able to, you know, sketch yourself in somewhere at this stage of the season, you'd want to be top of the league or thereabouts. And, you know, it's going down to the wire. It's the two best teams are going to have to duke it out now. They're going to have to be very, very good going forward. For me, you know, like I've said all along, and I am a fan of trying to win every piece of silverware, you know, they are hard conferences compared to perhaps the Gardner and the Patton is just a level above those in terms of you're playing Cardiff six times, you're playing Nottingham six times, and you're playing Sheffield six times. You know, you've got 18 games against arguably three of the strongest teams in the league. And at the minute we sit on top of that, we've got an opportunity at the weekend, perhaps, you know, pick up the first, you know, tangible piece of silverware that you can. I'm not going to ever turn down the Arhart Conference. It's something that I quite like, personal opinion only. In terms of the celebration, I can understand where Simon's coming from there. It was a big sally because of the magnitude of the two games and the amount of people that came, and just the emotion, I guess, of how it all ended. I'm a bit probably more reserved. I'd be along Simon's lines in this. We won some points at the weekend. There's still a whole lot of work to be done. And I just don't like giving anybody some ammunition to fire back at us later in the season should things not work out the way we want them to. So you sometimes need to keep a bit of a lid in your celebrations. But, you know, it's good to see everybody having so much fun at the arena too.
You know, sorry for jumping in, Paddy. Look, I have more fun than a lot of people can shout and scream and it's recorded on TV. As soon as the game's over, that's it, done and dusted. You know, thank God, because it was just completely drained. Right on cue, mate.
Can't help but see when he's doing that. Come on, wee man, the Darcy Murphy one. Like, your lips sinking it every time.
Darcy Murphy! Come on, wee man!
I love it.
When I walked into the rink on Saturday, I was there before Darcy. And he came up the tunnel. Sorry, he came out from the, when he came in, the guys got the back door. And I'm standing there talking to, I think he was talking to Steve Thornton. And Darcy came up and he says, "All right, wee man, here's me. All right, kid, what's happening?" And away he went. But, you know, all the boys are taking the piss out of it and calling Darcy wee man for the rest of the night as well. So listen, it was a huge weekend. We talked about it last week, how important it was. Taff was on with us. You know, he said, last week as well, Paddy, I'm pretty sure he said it online. We're getting 4 points.
He did.
The boys were, you know, they were all up for it the weekend. But, and this is a massive, massive but, it's done. It's gone.
Yep.
We have a massive game tomorrow night, like away to Fife. Yep. Huge game tomorrow night. And then away to Sheffield on Saturday and home to Manchester on Sunday. Listen, this is far, far, far from over. And I'm looking forward to the rest of the season. But it starts again tomorrow night.
One final point before we wrap up this is Saturday night's game was 1,000 games for Jonathan Ferland, Davey.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic milestone for the constable, as he's called. Hitting machine. He's been outstanding since he came to Belfast. You know, we know what you're going to get every single shift with Jonathan Fern. He's never going to leave a hit out there. And, you know, it's just an amazing accolade, longevity and, you know, managing to avoid injuries through a long career that he's been around the block, like, and he's been at some fantastic teams. He's won some major trophies, and let's hope he can pick up another couple more before that career winds down.
We had him on a few weeks ago. Says great guy and a great career.
He's just an absolute gentleman. He's so nice. I love that type of game as well. You know the way he's Davey got his stats for hits. I think he's about probably 40% or 30% more than the nearest person to him. He hits anything that moves. And when he hits you, you know you're hit. You know, he sticks up for the teammates as well. I mean, he fought Josh Batchelor in this season as well. You know, he's not afraid to drop the gloves and get doing anything for the team. And every time you talk to him, every single time you talk to him, it's about the team. I interviewed him on Saturday night after the match, and he was, you know, talking about his personal accolades. And all he wanted to do was get back to the team. That's just a leader for him.
Congratulations to him. 1,000 games, a fantastic milestone, and hopefully we can add something to his already bulging silverware. He's an Austrian championship. He has a Calder Cup. Obviously, we talked to him about that a few weeks ago as well. And a Challenge Cup last season with the Belfast Giants. And hopefully a little bit more silverware come the end of this season. The highlights of those two fantastic games, along with two brilliant game reports, William Cherry's photographs, which Davey mentioned before, and the post-game interviews from across the weekend. You can get them all on kingdomofthegiants.com. So on the back of those two victories over the Cardiff Devils and the Belfast Giants on top of the Elite Ice Hockey League, there is still a long way to go. But let's have a chat with the Chief. Head coach Adam Keefe joins us right now. How are you doing, mate?
Not bad. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, all good. All good. We've just had a quick chat, I think we chatted for about 30 minutes there, about the games against the Cardiff Devils on the four-point weekend. Your take on how the weekend went, you must be very happy.
Yeah, extremely happy. I thought, you know, obviously you're nervous going up to those games, but I think it's a good nerve. And I think obviously the players, you know, they feel that as well. And when they show up for those games, you know, once we get involved and I see the first few minutes go by, you know, you realize that your guys are up to task. And I thought that our guys brought it all weekend. And no, you know, not just them. I thought Cardiff was good as all weekend as well. So I thought it was a great weekend of ice hockey for both sets of fans.
Coach, I know it's cliche, it's hockey and all, and we always talk about taking one game at a time, but how hard is it to actually do that when you're into a stretch of maybe 15 games here where absolutely everyone is so crucial to the next one?
Yeah, obviously you need to keep you'll keep an eye on you. You can tell the players to not worry about what happens in the league, but they're watching the table, and I'm sure Carter's doing the same. But when it comes to our play, all we can really do is worry about ourselves and trying to be the best team that we can be on each night, and you know, just tick them off as we go along here. We're certainly better off than if we had lost over the course of the weekend. And I think that, you know, we have to really believe it as an organization and as a fan base and as a team here that we can do this thing.
Adam, you talk about obviously going down the stretch. You've been there as a player. You've got guys in that locker room who have been in very similar situations. How important is it to have the likes of the experience of Jim Vandermeer, Paddy Dwyer, you know, obviously yourself and Rob Stewart beside you as well. Rob, I mean, we always talk about yourself and the coaching staff. Rob, he's a quiet man, but how important is it to have those guys alongside you?
Yeah, it's huge. I think you know, having this year with the player coaches that we have and with Rob on board, it's they've been an immense help for me throughout the entire season. You know, just to have that, even when, you know, we never want one of our players on the bench with us, but when we do have a third man on the bench, you know, all three of them have done an amazing job helping out and obviously another set of eyeballs and another set of ideas. And even when they're playing, you know, they're constantly, you know, giving new ideas and new tactics to help us kind of try and win games. And obviously I'm new to this job and still looking for as much information and as much experience as I can get. And anytime I can draw on those type of experiences from those guys, it's certainly helpful. But, you know, in regard to the league, you know, we can really draw on the experiences of the guys who have been in this league for a long time that have been a part of these league title chases. And they know what it takes here down the stretch. And essentially we're in playoffs now. And, you know, every game, it, you know, it is going to feel like it did last weekend.
Interesting you say about those experiences and having the guys in the locker room, you know, who have had those experiences. I remember reading an article many years ago from Gary Neville at Manchester United, who said, you know, winning the League Cup was the first taste of silverware that he had, and it gave him a taste for more. With regards to the Challenge Cup last season and having that experience of victory, and I know a lot of the guys in the locker room have already had that silverware experience, but having that, is that a little bit more, do you get that lust, that taste for more, to that extra jump to chase it?
Yeah, certainly. I think in regards to the Challenge Cup, yes, I think the Challenge Cup was a nice breather for us as an organization, since we've had that little drought there, and we all wanted it so bad for each other and for the city of Belfast, just to have another celebration. And we want more of that for sure. But I think in regards to the league, it is a grueling 8 months that it's something special when you win it. And it's hard to put into words to the players and to having experienced it. And we try, and it's something that we want to try to build here on was last weekend and that feeling that we had, and obviously with the devastating loss in the Continental Cup final, all these things that we want to draw on here going forward into March, and obviously we want to close out February here tomorrow with some success and then have a good close here. I mean, that's what we're looking at. I think the guys have probably six, I'm not sure exactly, don't count my math, but 6-7 weeks left as a group here, and then that's it. We likely will not have the exact same team we had this year, so this is what is left for this squad, so we want the guys to pull together here for this tail end of the season here and do something special.
Coach, I know we're talking about the next 6-7 weeks and the next few games, but let's go back just 1 week. I wasn't able to be on the podcast last week because I was flying back here after what happened 7 days ago, Stephen Murphy's testimonial. It must have been a lot of fun, but incredible to see the likes of the Wheels, the likes of Evan Chevrolet and all still have. It was just an absolutely fantastic thing to be involved in.
Yeah, maybe too much fun for myself, but anytime you get those guys back, it brings back a lot of great memories, so it's always special to see those guys again. Those are guys that we won trophies with. Speaking about trophies, those are guys that you always kind of walk together and share those memories together. So it's exactly what we did. The first I met up with Sauce and Chevy and Chedzi for a couple of pints before the dinner there, and that was maybe a bad idea, but just share stories and talk about the past and some funny stories, and obviously the run we had with our second league title here under Paul Adey. That was a funny year and a lot of good times and a lot of good memories. So yeah, it was it's always nice to celebrate somebody's personal success as well. Stephen Murphy's done so much for this organization, and I actually listened to your guys' podcast, and you guys were speaking about how special he's been for this organization. And I think one thing that didn't get brought up was the fact that he's played 10 years and lasted 10 years here as a goaltender. And I think that's probably one of the most difficult positions in ice hockey for sure. And especially with him being Scottish and homegrown talent and has won two league titles. I think that's obviously speaks volumes to about the type of player and person he is and how loyal he was to this organization. So it was nice to see him get rewarded for that.
Coach, you're obviously still in the locker room on a daily basis and before games and stuff, but how much different is it there when you're strapping the skates on and Paxton's playing pranks on you, and it's back into the old atmosphere of being one of the guys again, as opposed to having to be slightly out of it being the coach?
Yeah, I guess you can kind of put that thinking cap off and just have a bit of banter with the guys. And Paxton's always, he's a special one. I've heard a lot of funny stories about him, and he's always one that never stops joking. And yeah, he cut my laces first thing. So it's a good welcome back into the locker room. But so like I said, it's good to see even the guys from before my time. Obviously But there's people here with like Stewie and Taff and Johnny and Thorts and yourselves. They've obviously shared all the stories from the guys before our time, and everybody kind of becomes one big family there when you have guys who have made the impact they've made on Belfast from within this organization.
Kiefer, what's the story with Kyle Surratt?
The story with Kyle Surratt is he used to always make fun of me back in the day because I got a louder cheer than him on the ice, so there'd be a couple more Keefe jerseys in the crowd. He'd always say, like, I'm the leading scorer of this team, and you have, like, 6 points. Like, I don't get it. So we always joked around that nobody knew who he was, but he was the best player on our team and the best player possibly in the league. So I always thought that was pretty funny, and we always had a good laugh about, I guess, how he kind of went under the radar as being potentially probably the best player in the league. And I thought especially his last full season healthy, I thought he was, by far the best player in the league all around anyways, that, he did everything out there. And he didn't always get the accolades that he probably deserved, but we certainly let him know about it anyways. And so that's where the Kyle Surratt joke was coming from. Nobody knew his name, Kevin.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with you. He was an absolute beauty. I just want to take you back on that overtime goal, the delay. Everybody on the bench obviously putting me under pressure up in the box to try and give you a thumbs up and everything as well. What's going through your head? Obviously, we heard that you got somebody running down behind the glass to show you the action that happened on the phone as well. What's going through your head? What's happening with the boys on the bench?
Live, I thought that it went in. And especially when you see the players' reactions that are so close to the net. And when they came back to the bench, they said absolutely it was in. So, you want to back them and you trust your players fully. And obviously, so you wonder why it's taken so long. And that's probably why I was looking up at you to try to get confirmation of did this thing go in or did it not. And either way, we were telling the players that either way, we still got to go here if it's no goal. And then, yeah, I actually had a friend of the family come down to the glass and show me the video of it on his phone. And, once I had seen that, there's video evidence that I wanted to make sure that they got the decision right. And obviously thankful that they did, because you never want to see a team lose. And I think that it's something that we should revisit as a league and make sure that, that every team is using every capability to make sure they get calls right. And look, I know that might eat my words one day, because it could always come back to haunt you if everybody's using everything at their disposal. Sometimes those decisions might go against you, but I think that that's in the nature of sport that if there's a goal, a good goal, you want it to be called, and you don't want it to go missed due to human error.
Okay, we're going to finish off with a quick fire question round. These are supplied by one of your fans, Jasmine Kitchen. So we'll give you 6 or 7 questions and you've got to answer them quickly.
Sounds all right, good.
Because it's like nearly 11 o'clock. We'll start with worst subject in school.
Worst subject in school, science.
If you could change one thing about your looks, what would it be?
Everything.
What fortune would you want to get in the fortune cookie?
You're about to win a league title.
Good shout. If you could be a member of a cartoon family, which family would it be?
Homer.
So the Simpsons, yeah?
Simpsons, yeah.
If you had access to a time machine, where would you go?
Prince Edward Island.
Dream car.
First car was a Jeep, so I'd go back to my Jeep with some jacked up wheels.
If you had a fight with Darryl Lloyd, who would win?
Definitely me. He knows that.
Sunrise or sunset?
Sunrise.
And the last one, don't know why she's put this one in. America or Canada?
I don't need to answer that question. We all know that. So. Canada.
Dear. One more question from me, Coach, is that you mentioned Kevin Surratt there and the impact that he had. A couple of players who came in late this season in the same way that Surratt did were Chris Higgins coming back and the guy we're going to speak to later on and Jordan Smotherman, two guys who also have had a massive impact.
Yes, certainly. I think that, obviously we're throughout the season, we're always trying to make sure that we're the best team we possibly can be. And from speaking with Steve all year, Higgy was certainly a guy that we wanted to bring back at some point this year, if it was possible. And it kept coming up that, he was entertaining it. So we wanted to make sure to get it done, and we did. And then obviously with Smo, he expressed some interest, and we'd spoken to him in the summer, and he expressed some interest recently about coming here. So, right before the deadline, we wanted to make sure to get that change made, and he's come in and had an immediate impact, which is great to see as well.
Fife on Wednesday night. We've had a little bit of trouble with Shane Owen in the past, but these are massive games.
Yeah, I mean, every game is big. It's a cliche, and we're going to be saying it for the next 6 weeks. So, every game is going to be a big challenge, especially when you face a goalie like Shane Owen. Every team is in a playoff race here, so I think that, everybody's in playoffs, not just us at the top of the table. It's everybody's fighting for positioning, and nobody wants to miss out on the chance. A chance to make the Final Four in playoffs. So every game's going to be big and every game's going to be tight. We're going to have to be good for a long time here to get this done.
Well, Coach, we're sitting top of the league. We've got a long way to go yet, but it's been a fantastic season so far. Thank you very much for your time.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks again to Adam Keefe for his time. Before we move on to look around the league, I'm getting stuck into a nice... What is this, actually? I said this earlier on, didn't I? A blackcurrant milkshake IPA, which I got from our good friends at beer52.com. If you like craft beer the way that I like craft beer, then they're the number one subscription service for UK craft beer. They'll send you a box of 8 beers from different themes and different places all around the world. Just get in contact with them, beer52.com/AVFTB, and the first box is free. Thanks very much to beer52.com, and thanks to you guys for supporting not just them but all of our sponsors, Total Performance Fitness and Funacab. Right, around the league, boys, and we'll start with Dops. Starting with Dops. There's only one Dops determination, but two things to talk about. Jordan Owens of the Sheffield Steelers has been assessed a 3-game suspension for a check to the head in the game against the Coventry Blaze. One of those games will be this week's game. The Belfast Giants take part in on Saturday. Dave, have you seen the hit?
I haven't seen the hit, Paddy.
Nope. Okay, Sis?
Yes, I did. I thought it was a bit naughty, to be honest. I think he knew exactly what he was doing. He took his left hand off his stick and forced himself up into Ben Lake's face. It was a naughty, naughty hit. However, I don't think it was any worse than Bentivoglio's the week before. Mm-hmm. And he got an extra game. Just so happens that they play the card.
We'll leave that hanging. You had a great chat as well with Mike Hicks in the period break over the weekend, one of the period breaks over the weekend. Maybe if I get a chance, I'll isolate that and stick it on our SoundCloud. And one of the things he said, Davey, to Simon, is the fact that you take these things in isolation.
Yeah, we've always said right back to when Seth was doing it, he used to really hammer home that point that, every hit has to be looked at individually, but you can understand why when two hits seem very, very similar in their delivery, why when they would get two different outcomes, you can understand why people would be a little confused or perhaps feeling that they're not consistent calls. But, you know, if that's Mike Hicks, and it's a really, really good interview, and Hicksy's proven himself again to be very, very approachable. He said he'll come on the podcast as well to have a chat anytime he wants. So, you know, in terms of that, he's saying, you know, that he was a bit more transparent. Would that be fair to say, Simon, than in saying who, maybe not names, but that the DOPS is a panel of people from all around the world, and, you know, they get a consensus on each individual hit, and,
yeah,
and they come up with a result, and the panel believed that was what the suspension should have been from that particular hit. And I suppose what the panel aren't doing is looking at their work from the week before. They're just looking at that hit and saying, well, in their belief, this is what it is. And they're not really looking back for a precedent that we maybe believe should be.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say, you know, again, I don't think anybody's asking anything, you know, that they can't supply. Because we talked about it a few weeks ago, about the transparency of DOPS. Again, you know, a lot of people just think it's Todd Kelman making the decisions. But, you know,
it's obviously on Saturday night.
With clarification from Mike Hicks of who he is there, and these guys with the experience that they have making decisions. Fair play to him. You know, I enjoyed the chat with him. It's the first time I've ever had the chance to speak with him, especially for Belfast Giants TV. So but thank him for his time. And he was there to watch the game and assess the officials as well. And he was in the room with the guys on Friday night. He wasn't there on Saturday. I think he went back to another game in England on Saturday. But, you know, it's great to see him over. He hasn't been in Belfast for a long, long time. But I asked him, did he miss the game? And he certainly didn't. You know, he was saying, no, it's a young man's game now, so let him get on with it.
Do you remember the other week you said you met that lad, Greg?
Yes.
Greg Kimmerly. He's the director of officiating for Elite League. And he's actually on. I only knew that because I went looking the other day on the Elite League website, and he's there. So, so there you go. One other thing from that same game that Jordan Owens took his 3-game suspension, is there was a fight between Neely and Matt Hackett, the Coventry Blaze goalkeeper. Both of them got 5 for fighting. No gloves came off. So you know what I'm going to ask, Davey?
What are you going to ask, Paddy?
I'm going to ask why Matt Hackett didn't get a suspension.
Very, very good question. One I can't answer. All I can say about a blocker punch, and I'll give you the rule. Rule 219, a goaltender who uses blocker to glove or his blocker glove to punch an opponent in the head, neck or face, we assessed a match penalty. Now, he clearly, I don't know how much contact there is, but he clearly throws 3/4 punches with his blocker on. A goaltender who starts a fight will be assessed a match penalty. I would say Hackett started the fight. He got double gloved in the face. Bit of a face wash, bit of a punch, whatever you'd like to call it. But Hackett then is the aggressor in the, if you want to call it, the altercation, the fight. So by the letter of the law, it should have been, if they're calling a fight, started a fight, if they're calling it a fight, somebody threw a punch, and for me, the blocker doesn't come, and he probably should have been suspended, as is what has happened to goaltender glove punches.
Yep, he played the following night in Fife. The two referees, Chris Wells and Steve Brown, decided to give both Hackett and Neely 5 for fighting. It's another one of those cases, says, where the fans are looking on and not getting anything back.
Yeah, I didn't see the video, but I'd seen a clip of it as in a photograph, and it looks as if he does make contact with a blocker. And again, Davey's been through the rules. No idea why Dobbs didn't act on it. He played the next night, so I don't think they're going to go back on it and suspend him now. And it's now Tuesday night at 10:30. There's nothing out, so I actually think. Do they play tomorrow?
I think so.
No, that's not actually. It's Cardiff and Guildford tomorrow, and us and Fife.
Also, that Saturday night was the Sheffield Steelers Pride Night, Davey.
It was indeed another organisation which I assume are making several thousand pounds of a war chest, either for you know, a little bounty for additional players, or they're giving that money to the causes that they're jumping on the back of. So I have seen
a few bit of the things that have questions being asked on social media. Like there was a lot of money made on shirts from Cardiff, and a couple of weeks later you've got the Sheffield one. A lot of talk about partnering with organisations, but not that much talk about any proceeds.
It's up to each individual organisation what they want to do. There's 10 grand plus of money. I would have thought Cardiff were going £300-£500 each. 20 shirts, you do the sums. Sheffield have obviously brought out a Pride Leisure range as well, which is quite odd considering it's been going on in Sheffield over the last few years. But, you know, it is what it is. I've got my own opinions on it. And what Belfast, you know, I've always said, and it's written on the doors outside the locker room, in the land of the Giants, it has to maintain to be our mantra. If you are whatever colour you are, or religion you are, whatever sexual orientation you are, whatever is your thing, you're welcome. I think we particularly need to put on colourful jerseys to ram home that message. And I'd like to think that anybody that comes through those doors in Belfast feels as welcome as the next guy or girl.
Hear, hear.
Hear, hear.
Quickly before we move on, playoff battle. Well, looking at the league table, Giants and the Cardiff Devils, 74 points each. 49 played from the Giants, 48 played by the Devils. We go back, as Davey said earlier on, they're Glasgow and Nottingham both have played more games but are over 10 points behind. 62 for the Clan, 59 for the Panthers. But it's more further down that is causing a bit of it. You've got the Fife Flyers, the Sheffield Steelers, the Manchester Storm, the Coventry Blaze and the Dundee Stars in that order going, 6, 7, 8, 9 and 10. Between them, 5 points. There's a real battle there, says, as to who's going to make the playoff place.
Yeah, you know, it's incredible. I mean, when you look at Sheffield, they've played 4 games more than Coventry. Coventry are only 4 points behind them. You know, those games coming up against, you know, we've a couple against the Storm, a couple against the Steelers, a couple against the Blaze. We're done against Dundee. Dundee are going to hope we're going to take points off all of them. Obviously, we've got the Fife Flyers tomorrow night. So, you know, there's a long, long way to go on this league table. I'd really like to see Pash get Dundee into the playoffs. I really would. You know, who misses out, whether it's Manchester, Sheffield, I don't really care. But we're all very fond of Pash, and I'd really like to see him make that push up the table.
Who do you think is going to make it, Davey? I'd say in the reckoning, you've maybe got the Steelers just about, but Storm, Coventry and Dundee, only 2 of those 4 can make it.
I'm like Simon. I want, in terms of, I genuinely, genuinely don't care who makes the playoffs, but if, you know, the heart overruling that sort of head thing there, I would love Pash to, you know, get the Stars up in the playoff place. Deserves it for what he does for that organisation. I'm sure there's people within other organisations feel that they do a lot as well. I wouldn't mind seeing Manchester in the playoffs either. I don't really care if the Steelers drop out of contention or not. I think they've probably got enough Flyers. See, even at this stage of the season, 5 games to make up on the team above them is just a nonsense. So, you know, don't want them to get any points tomorrow night, but they could well, you know, gather a bit of momentum, been playing well. It's too early to say, Paddy. It's going to come. That's also going to come down to the last weekend or two.
You know, you see when you look at the table there now, and, you know, obviously teams are battling for playoff spots. Well, the Giants and Cardiff, 1 and 2, you know, if the Giants do finish as champions, do you want the Manchester Storm in the playoffs? Do you want Coventry? Do you want Dundee?
Yes.
You know, who would you want? Like, do you know what I mean? Who would you want?
Edinburgh.
Well, that's, you know, I knew it was going to be a stupid question for you. Like,
I don't care who would get, Simon. You know, it's whatever team we get at this stage of the season, if we finish 1 or 2, we're getting 7 or 8, they're going to have had to play really well the last number of weeks in the season. So, you know, whoever number 1 and number 2 seed gets this season is going to be a team that's in a little bit of form.
Well, you see, if it finishes as it sits right now, the Devils get the Steelers. I mean, that's huge. You know, that's massive, massive 2 games. Like, and the Clan play the Flyers, a local derby to a certain extent. Nottingham, Guildford. Guildford have already beaten Nottingham.
Yep.
in the semi-final of the Challenge Cup for over two legs. You know, this year's table, this year's league has been unbelievable. You know, yeah, the Giants and Cardiff are a step above, you know, with regards to points. The Clan have been playing really, really well since Christmas time. The Panthers, well, we all know, we all hate the Panthers, but, you know, again, they just can't get any consistency together. Guildford, I think they've won their last five. I think they've won their last five games. Fife have started to win a couple of games again. You know, Steelers, Manchester, Coventry, Dundee. It's too hard to call.
It's such a wide open league when it comes to that. I know that we said that you said there that, you know, the Giants and the Devils are a step above the rest of them, but when it comes to playoff hockey, it's a different beast. We'll see over the next couple of weeks how that plays out. We've got our own role to play in that because we play the Steelers, the Storm, the Blues, and the Stars quite a bit over the next few weeks. So we'll come to that, no doubt, again as the rest of the season progresses. One more thing to talk about before we chat to Jordan Smotherman is that Wednesday night's game against the Five Flyers is the final game of the month of February. So do you want to stick with your boys? I'm just going to ask you for your nominations for the Player of the Month, Simon.
I haven't even thought about it, Paddy.
Davey, go on. Give him a minute. You usually have this all ready to go.
For me, oh my goodness, there's a lot of good. Right, Paddy, guess what he's shagging.
Do you know what? I do have one, Paddy.
Go on.
Curtis Leonard.
That's a good shout.
Leonard's been brilliant. He's been absolutely brilliant. And I think he's, and Davey, I don't have the points. You know, he's come into the Elite League as a defensive defenseman. I think he's got 434 points now. Obviously, picking up that OT winner at the weekend is, you know, is certainly going to have him noticed, even though it was Ben Bounds put it in the net. But for me, I think he's been outstanding the last few weeks. I think he's been brilliant. You know, we're in the last 12 games, I'm pretty sure we're 10-2. Sorry. Yeah, 10-2 in the last 12 games. That partnership he has with Josh Roach, and you know, even defensively, Kevin Rayne, you know, he's been nominations in the last 2 months. Rayner's been brilliant. He's been absolutely brilliant.
Rayner's my shout. Sorry to interrupt, but you know, you've got, like you said, Lenny has been also been brilliant. Defensively, we've been great, but Rayner, I think, it's been a few months now. It's been more or less since he's come in. He's been absolutely top drawer. I know, obviously, there was the big kick-up over the whole contractor thing. We made a lot of that ourselves and a few question marks over him. He's taken those question marks and he's shoved them up the backsides of everybody's produced them because he has been top, top drawer.
I can't argue that, honestly.
These two guys are going to go for Damien and Curtis Leonard and Kevin Rayne. And I can't argue that. I think Rayner has been exceptional since he came back. He's probably playing like a player who should be playing higher leagues in Europe, but he went away. It didn't work out. He's came back and we're the benefit for it. For me, Dustin Johnner, another really, really good month. He had a really, really solid January. He's over a point a game in February. He's came up with real clutch goals at key times and games. He's came up with that hat trick against the Panthers, and who can ever, you know, not be impressed with a hat trick against the Panthers? So for me, DJ on the forecheck and all, he's been exceptional. He's played in all situations. He's scored points in every situation, and he's just done what he has to do. He's had a really, really good season. He's had a really, really good 8 weeks, and long may it continue.
You know, you look at the guys that throughout the lineup. I mean, Kyle Bonds had a brilliant month. You know, Darcy Murphy's been excellent.
Sorry to cut across you. When you go 10-2, everybody's clicking. Besko could well be up there again with some of the games he's had as well. And he's proven himself to be human at times this month too. And, you know, extraordinary performance from the team over the month of February.
We're going to open the nominations for the Player of the Month on Thursday following Wednesday's game. So have a think. We're going to ask you for your nominations and then we'll put together, as we always do, the shortlist. We'll file those out and we'll put the poll together and award February's Player of the Month, sponsored by our good friends at Phonacab.
90333333.
Keep that in, Paddy.
It's a disappointing result in the end, 4-1 to Belfast. What are your thoughts on that game?
Well, it's a 2-1 hockey game. It's a 2-1 game. It's a 2-1 game. It's a 2-1 hockey game. But still, late in the third period, it's a 2-1 hockey game. 2-1 hockey game. We 2-1 game. 2-1 It's a 2-1 game.
Great stuff. Thanks, Doug.
Right, thanks.
Time for the fan agenda brought by our good friends at Belfast Giants TV. And we have the latest name on the Belfast Giants roster, a man who arrived and went straight into the action and in that put himself in a little bit of Belfast Giants folklore. Since then, he's been scoring goals and having fun. Jordan Smotherman, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Yeah, great, mate, great. We'll start by talking about the weekend past, a key weekend for the Belfast Giants, one which was built up quite a bit coming into it. You know, first v second, a packed arena, a hell of an atmosphere, but you guys got the job done.
You know, we absolutely did. From the second I signed the contract and knew I was coming over here, that was a weekend that was circled on my calendar multiple times. And, you know, the crowd and everything lived up to the hype and the expectation, and obviously a huge 4 points for us.
The power play goal on Friday night was an absolute belter.
Yeah, that was a nice one. I don't score a lot of the fancy ones like that. I kind of fancy myself a little bit more of a garbage goal type of guy. So it's always fun when I get the opportunity to score one like that.
Jordan, Stevie, obviously in a few weeks now and doing pretty well, but talk us through that initial. You were signed to come, you were going to be coming a few days, and then you see Paddy Dwyer, you're watching the game, you see Paddy Dwyer going down hurt. Get yourself to the airport and get in a few days early.
Yeah, I was actually was planning on spending the day because we were flying out of Amsterdam. I was planning on spending the day there. We were going to stay at a hotel by the airport the day before, which would have been that Saturday night, I believe, or Sunday night. I can't remember which day it was when I came in. So we were planning on being there. I saw the injury go down. I got a text from Kiefer that it came off as a kind of a joke, like, hey, you want to play? Ha ha. And then about 10 minutes later, I got another email from Steve that was a similar type of joke. And so I just responded to both of them. I said, look, I'm going to be at the airport. There's a flight at 1 o'clock or 11 o'clock, sorry, that gets me in on time. If you guys need me to come play, I'm there. And then that was at probably 11:45 midnight, my time in Germany. And it just got rolling from there.
Smo, you've obviously, you know, you obviously spent a lot of your start of your career in North America. Then you switched to the Denmark, Sweden, Finland, Scandinavia. How hard is it to make that switch, to make that decision to come from North America to Europe?
It's never an easy one, you know, especially guys that are playing in the American League and have had a number of years there that are still holding on to that NHL dream that they had. You know, that's a tough one to give up. And obviously moving away from home is never an easy thought. But in the end, a great decision for me and for my life. And, you know, I couldn't be happier with where my career's ended up.
We got quite a few ones coming on Twitter. Some really good questions. I'll start with Chris Revel, a friend of ours. Says you arrived right in the middle of the Giants trophy hunt. How did the atmosphere in the building over the weekend compare with your past experiences?
I mean, it was an incredible atmosphere. I've played in some big games and in front of some big crowds, but there's just a feeling here in Belfast and a sense of pride that you get that I have not gotten in other places. You know, I've played for fans and teams that are super supportive and they love their team, but there's something a little bit deeper here that you can feel over a big weekend like this past weekend.
Ruth McCauley, before you joined the Giants, did you know anything about Northern Ireland, and what was it attracted you to the place in the organization? She also adds, we're all very glad to have you, by the way.
Oh, great. That's very nice. Thank you, Ruth. I did not know much about Northern Ireland at all. Maybe a little bit of history, but that was about it. And as far as what attracted me to the organization, my dealings with Steve Thornton, the general manager of the team, were by far some of the most professional dealings I've had with teams over here in Europe. As well as recommendations from other players. Everybody that's played here always tells me the same thing. If you end up there, it's going to be the best decision of your career. You're going to have the most fun you've had of your career. It's a great spot to play, et cetera, et cetera.
Jordan, you probably noticed. I don't know, obviously, not being a player, just how interactive other fans are around the league on social media. But you probably knew whenever, you know, 10 minutes after it was announced your sign, your Twitter probably blew up with hundreds of new followers. But you seem quite active on Twitter. And I seen somebody the other day I had put on about, you know, you can look at all the stats you want in elite prospects, you can read about everything you want in it, but there's no stat that measures how much you buy into a team. And you've replied 110% on board. How easy was it just to jump on the Adam Keyes process, be part of the locker room, and just immerse yourself completely in the team from day one?
You know, it was something that I was itching for, and a big part of the reason why I did come to Belfast was to play hockey that mattered, to play some games that had meaning behind them. Upon arrival and just talking with Adam and talking with Steve, talking with Chris Higgins and past players, it already started to kind of build that sense of community that surrounds this team. And just knowing how many people care and support this team in such a passionate way makes it so much easier to buy in. And the same thing goes for the guys in the room. From day one, you know, I show up for that game, and their appreciation for coming in on such short notice and playing like that was something that stood out. And obviously the second game being the second leg of a semifinal that we're down by a goal. You know, you don't really have a choice here but to buy in. And it's been a great ride so far.
Smo, you've talked about, you know, playing all over Europe. Before you came to Belfast this year, you played 35 games in the DEL. Coming into EIHL, playing 3-3, as a player, you know, a professional player who's, you know, you've spent the last 12 years as a pro, how hard is it to play 3-3?
It's hard. it can be miserable. And under the circumstances, I think there were a lot of situations where, you know, we ran with three lines for a good portion of some of those games. I know at one of the games we only had 11 forwards dressed. So it taxes the body, and mostly it's a mental thing. They're certainly not easy situations, and we've done pretty well with them for the two that I was here for.
A couple more from Twitter. Andrew Ferguson, we've got the quick fire questions coming out, I'm sure,
yeah.
from Jasmine Kitchen. But we've got one. Pearl Jam or Nirvana?
Sorry, I couldn't
Pearl Jam or Nirvana comes from Andrew Ferguson.
Actually, I saw that one come in. I was laughing. My wife about it. She's definitely a Nirvana person, but I'm definitely more of an Eddie Vedder Pearl Jam guy.
Matty Carlton, who has tweeted us in, he's looking to be a referee as far as I know, but he says there's a lot of talk about your sticks. What are they? What flex and what curve do you have?
So yeah, I use Bauer. I think they're the N2s or the Nexus 2s now is what they're called. I use a big toe curve. I think it's the Matthews now is what it's called. It's a P28, and I use a 100 flex. And actually, I just got those last week, so I'm pretty excited. I've got two games under my belt with them now. It's nice to have the right curve back.
How difficult was it to deal with not having them?
It wasn't too bad. They were able to get some sticks right away. That were the curve that I had used for the previous 10 years. And unfortunately, the factory in China that we get our sticks from was closed for the Chinese New Year the week that I arrived. So that was the only reason for the holdup.
It certainly gives people an awful lot to talk about, is how good you are when you get sticks here. But, you know, we look down right into the stretch here now, you know, sort of 10, 11 league games, game tomorrow night, Challenge Cup final around the corner. I know we'd never really look more than one game ahead. Playoffs as well. But there's a big chance for the Belfast Giants to do something here one game at a time.
Yeah, there absolutely is. And like you said, you know, as cliche as it sounds, it really is a one game at a time process. And it's really important for us that we focus on our own game and that we worry about winning our own games and anything else that happens in the league otherwise, you know, is going to happen.
Smo, we always finish with a quick fire question round. So
yep.
These have been compiled by my 14-year-old daughter.
Okay.
So I'll take out the ones about Barbie dolls and all that crap. That's
leave them in. You never know. That's not
okay. But so it's okay. Quick fire. We'll go start. If you could buy any type of food right now, what would you get?
Ooh, a burrito.
Oh, Boojum. I'm giving a wee quick shout out. Who's your favorite superhero?
I've tried those. They're quite good.
Who's your favorite superhero?
Batman.
Hobby outside of hockey, sorry.
Obvious answer would be golf.
If you could trade lives. Oh, but yeah, we talked about golf earlier in the when you were first in the Belfast, so you're starting to get the weather now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a couple guys actually played the other day.
Perfect. If you could trade lives with anybody for a day, who?
Oh, that's a tough one. Trade lives with anybody for a day, who would it be? I can't think of an answer right here. Who would be a good answer? I'm drawing a blank. I got nothing. I'm drawing a blank. I'll come back to you if something pops into my head.
Okay. What celebrity annoys you?
What celebrity annoys me? God, I'm decently annoyed with our president in the U.S. right now. So I might have to go with Mr. Trump.
What store do you shop in most?
Other than the spa downstairs for food and deli stuff. Let's see. I'm a Lululemon guy all the way.
If you could swim in any liquid, what would it be?
I want to stick in water. I'm not sure what else I'd want to swim in.
If you ask Darcy Murphy, he'll kind of stout. But and how many keys do you have in your key ring?
Two, actually. Just a house key and a mailbox key right now.
Perfect. What was that last one, Paddy, we talked? He couldn't answer.
If you could swap places with anybody, or if
swap places with anybody. God, I probably make myself younger and a little bit better hockey player. So maybe like an Austin Matthews or a Connor McDavid, something like that.
Good choice, man. That's me done, boys.
Fantastic. Thanks to Jasmine for those questions. Thanks to everybody for your questions with regards to the fan agenda. There's a load of those ones on Twitter. We couldn't get through them all, but Jordan, listen, you've got three games coming up this week. You know, with Fife on Wednesday night, and then Sheffield and Manchester. How are you guys prepped?
We had a good week. We had a good workout and a little bit of a skate on Monday, and then this morning had a great practice, and I think the guys are ripping and ready to go.
Fantastic. Well, listen, we'll let you go and enjoy your evening. Thank you very much for your time.
No, thank
you. Can I ask one question before you go?
Yeah, absolutely.
What's the worst rink you've ever played in?
Oh, worst rink I've ever played in.
Because you're going to Manchester in summer.
I have heard the rumors about that one. I am waiting to see. I've played in some bad ones. There were a couple of bad ones in Denmark. I want to say the Copenhagen hockey rink in Denmark was not great. That would have to be the top of my list.
Okay, right. Well, we'll maybe have a chat with you next week after you go to Fife in Manchester.
Sounds good, guys.
Thanks, man.
All right, enjoy your night.
Thanks again to Jordan. Right, we've got three games coming up this in the next 7 days, next 5 days, 5-6 days, I guess. Fife away, Sheffield away, and Manchester at home. Fife on Wednesday, Sheffield on Saturday, Manchester on Sunday. Before we talk about those games, and Davey tells us how much he hates this part of the show, Wednesday night's game is the free sports game of the week. And as we tend to do when we have that, we invite our good friend on. The main man from free sports is Mr. Aaron Murphy. How are you, mate?
I'm good, Paddy. How's it going? You got a big weekend.
Yeah, I think every game from here on in is going to be a big one, mate, not least the two that have just gone past. But it sets up a really great game this Wednesday night in Fife.
I mean, we all know what it's like at the Fife Ice Arena. The fans are on top of you. It's a definition of home ice advantage. I mean, the Flyers are usually pretty tough at home. And obviously the Giants have had those moments over the years where they know it's tough to go in there. And this is a real tough game, because if you look at Fife right now, they've coming off two wins in a row. You guys are coming off two wins in a row, so it's poised very well for the TV game on Free Sports. And the Giants, I mean, that's a huge weekend over Cardiff. And it doesn't get any easier, because Fife at home are a tough outfit. So, I mean, to keep that win streak alive, and Cardiff play on Wednesday night as well. So it's, as you said, every game, every matchup is big now. It's almost like the playoffs have already started if you look at it that way.
How do you feel this season matches up to previous seasons? Obviously, you've got a bit of a two-horse race, a definite two-horse race at the top of the league. But as you come down, you've got that real playoff battle, which I guess Fife are part of now.
Well, I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right. If you look at Fife on 53 points and then you're down to Coventry, you're just 4 points off the pace and Coventry are out of the playoffs. So, I mean, it's that fine a margin. So you're talking about the Giants need a win to keep their title hopes alive. Well, if you're Fife, if you're Todd Dudiem and the Flyers, you absolutely need to win on Wednesday. You need your home victories and your home points if you're the Flyers, because the likes of the Blaze and the Stars are only 4 and 5 points behind you. So from like 6 downwards, any one of those teams from 6 to probably 10, one of those two, there's going to be a few surprises there. There's teams now that are in the playoff hunt. They're on the bubble. And there are teams on the outside looking in that are going to be in the playoffs. So if you're Fife, you want to be one of those teams that stays where you are right now and comfortably in a playoff position. But this is a big game for Fife, and they'll know that. They'll know the Giants are riding high after the 2 wins over Cardiff. So I expect a really tasty encounter.
You know, the last time we spoke was ahead of the second leg of the Challenge Cup final against the Glasgow Clan. What turned out to be a great game, not just for the Belfast Giants, but as a bit of a spectacle. And also, it sets up a great final against the Guildford Flames.
Oh, I mean, it was a great game. And I actually, I went up again on Saturday. I snuck up on Saturday as a spectator to watch another game against the Clan. And that turned into be a good game as well. So, I mean, Pete Russell's really got the Glasgow Clan going now after, I mean, they're in third place. They've leapfrogged over the Panthers. But, I mean, he may be some growing pains at the start of the season in a new city. Well, he knows the city well, but a new club and new systems. But he's got them going well. So that was never going to be easy for the Giants, our last TV game. They went into that game with a 1-goal deficit. But, I mean, Smotherman, Riley, those guys stepped up for you. Beskar, Iwani. So magnificent. And you know what? Guildford won't be easy in the final on March 10th. They play the game the right way. Their first line is as good as any line in the league. So that Cali Accords lights out on the power play. So I expect a really good final on March 10th in Cardiff.
Worth pointing out in the last 24 hours, a bit of news that came out, and Free Sports stepping up their support for the Team GB setup once again, this time with the women.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that's been a priority for me. But that's something a couple of years in the making. We started trying to make this work a few years back, and finally we're across the line, because we all know, we've talked about it, we hear other people talking about it, doing hockey on television is expensive, so there always needs to be, how do we get this to work? And over the last few years, we've tried to get it across the line. It's across the line now, and the GB Women's National Team in that tournament in Dumfries, they should be there or thereabouts for a medal, and hopefully a gold medal on the last day of competition, and we're going to bring you that tournament from April 2nd to the 8th, live and exclusive on Free Sports. And that's important to me, because I think the women's game, I've been quite lucky to do the Olympics in Sochi and in Pyeongchang to be a part of the women's and the men's tournament. And the women's tournament is just as exciting and skilled as the men's tournament. And people need to see that from the GB perspective. And I'm just really proud that that's across the line. And I hope people tune in and enjoy, because that women's side is very skilled, very talented.
Yep, that is fantastic, mate. So, game on Wednesday night, what are the details?
Well, Wednesday, I mean, like we said, it's a tough place to go fight, but it's a fun place to broadcast from, and we'll have the pregame show from 7 p.m., and of course, face-off from 7:30 at the Fife Ice Arena. Paul Adey will be with me in the commentary box. Chris Ellis will be ringside, and you can check freesports.tv for all the news and information. Of course, follow along on social media at freesports_TV. But we're really looking forward to that game, because I think it's kind of one of those must-win games on both sides of the puck that can really breed a really good encounter, and it should be a really good spectacle on television.
Murph, no doubt all the Belfast Giants supporters will be tuned in to Free Sports, and right across the league as the Giants chase down the Cardiff Devils for that Elite League Championship, and Fife fighting for their playoff place. Thanks very much for your time, buddy.
Paddy, anytime, and looking forward to the game on Wednesday, and looking forward to seeing you all soon.
Thanks again to Murph. Right, yes, Fife, Sheffield and Manchester. I'll start with you, Davey. It's not so much, you know, how we're going to play, blah, blah, blah. It's the fact that off the back of what was no doubt a bit of a draining weekend, because it was so hyped, the Giants have to get themselves back up again and go into a place that's difficult to play.
Travel day tomorrow, or today as it is when the podcast go out. You know, boys will be on the boat, and a bus trip up the Fife, and stopping off probably for a coffee and something to eat in the way. It's not that taxing of a travel day, but it needs to be done. Hopefully the weather will be nice and it'll be a nice smooth crossing, and and the boys can be there and be refreshed before the start of the game. There'll obviously be a little bit of bus legs, you would imagine, at the start of the game. You need to shake them off brave and quick. And, you know, the adrenaline at this stage of the season, you're not training as much as you want to be. You're playing all the time. And, you know, it's good that we were able to go Friday, Saturday last week rather than Saturday, Sunday and have that extra day's rest and get into training, because with the games instead of training, it does upset the balance. And, you know, but the boys just have to do what they've got to do. And you know, I know we're going to look at Saturday's and Sunday's game, but really at the minute, you can't look past. Those boys will be looking past, won't be looking past their first shift, their period, you know, on the weekend. So I really don't like doing it either.
Says, what's the most dangerous of those three games?
First one. First one, Fife away. You know, again, Davey's absolutely 100% agree with him. You know, and the challenge that we have right now is at the back of their minds, we have a cup final in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah.
You know, that Adam, one of Adam's big jobs in the next 2 weeks is making sure the guys concentrate on today, tomorrow, then Thursday and Friday. You know, getting in the game, getting ready to go this week. That's what he has. That's going to be his toughest job. You know, the boys need to get the cup final out of their mind, because I have absolutely no doubt they're looking forward to that cup final. They've got a chance to win a championship. So, you know, Wednesday is tomorrow or today, whenever you listen, well, today because you're listening to it, is absolutely massive. The Fife Flyers will be well up for this. It's on TV. It's on national TV. All the players love to play in front of the cameras with their guard, you know, making that extra move, trying to get a nice goal. You know, most important thing for us is we play as a unit again. We've been a brilliant weekend. We've talked about it. It's history, but we need to carry that form into this game tomorrow night. It's never easy getting to Fife.
The game against Sheffield on Saturday away. Obviously, Sheffield will be out with Jordan Owens. Nice. But one of the things that come from that, Davey, and you mentioned it earlier on, is that should the Giants take... Now, I need to get this right. Definitely 2 points, possibly one. They will take the Arrowhead Conference.
Yeah, and that's great. You know, we've won it a couple of times previously. It's a nice big trophy. Everybody likes picking up shiny things. So, you know, I hope we can win it. And
2 point coins, usually.
Oh, that reminds me of a Simon Kitchen joke, but I'm not going to repeat it. But yeah, you know, what was the funny thing there? I don't get that.
Carry on, David.
Everybody likes picking up shiny things. Don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what's funny. But anyway, yeah, you know, when you're in a conference with the Devils, the Panthers, and the Steelers, and you can come out on top of it, that's been a successful season. And to come out of the Shark Tank, whatever you want to call it, you know, the Piranha Pool, the hardest of the conferences to win, it's actually worthy of celebration, in my opinion. And, you know, we've still got to go and do the business to pick that up. Cardiff will want to win that as well. There's no doubt about it that they'll want to pick that silverware up too. And, you know, it's just a byproduct of a good season. It's not to be all and end all the time, but it's just a byproduct of a good season.
And then on Sunday, he says, you know, that Manchester, as we said, are fighting for their lives with regards to a playoff place. They took a very late win over the Sheffield Steelers on Sunday, scored 2 goals in like the last 5 minutes to go from I think it was 3-2 down to 4-3 up or something like that. Anyway, I was watching the game, can't remember the score, but they are a dangerous team and a physical one.
Is that the night that your man Springer comes back as well?
Yes, your mate Springer. You've called him it twice in 2 weeks. Do you want to call him it again?
Yeah, he's you know, honestly, I just don't see what he brings. Back, maybe in the backside, but only time will tell. Listen, again, Wednesday night, that's all I'm concentrating on at the minute. That's the one that's the most important thing. And then once it's out of the way, the boys will start getting ready for Saturday. So it's a big, big weekend.
7:30 p.m. on Wednesday night, live on Free Sports with Aaron Murphy and Paul Airey and Chris Ellis. Let's not forget about Chris stepping in the Simon Kitchen shoes. on the Saturday away at Sheffield, 7 p.m. If you're not traveling over to that, you'll get it on Sheffield Steelers TV with Jonathan Fernley. And then back to the SSE Arena on Sunday to face the Manchester Storm. 4 p.m. These games are running out. This is a championship we're chasing. Get yourself down there. And if you're unable to get down there, of course, Mr. Kitchen will be on Belfast Giants TV.
Darcy Murphy! Come on,
come on, me, man!
I still have to do this one, though.
Help!
It's never going to get old. Any other business, Chance?
Yeah, I've got one, boys. The Saturday night game, thanks to Steelers TV, we are show it at the Odyssey Cinema for Belfast Giants TV. So tickets are on sale at odysseycinema.co.uk, I think it is. Go and get your tickets now. They are selling very, very well. So hopefully we can get a seller, we can get a good crowd in there and watch a game. And you know, you're welcome to come along with your Giants colours on and shout as much as you want to and cheer as much as you want to as well. And then hopefully we get the right result against the Sheffield Steelers. And as you say, probably pick up that first trophy of the year.
Just briefly, says OSC, how's it been going?
It's going phenomenal. Believe it or not, we had another 15 members at the weekend that joined up. I mean, we were only 12 games left in the season, and they've joined for the rest of this season. So it's been doing great. You know, everything we do is geared towards helping. You know, it's important that we get the support of the members. It's important we've been entrusted by the club to you know, the likes of the Continental Cup jerseys. We've had an auction for them. We've had other nights that we've had for the likes of Paxton. Davies' idea with the pucks has been fantastic. It's been, you know, I think we're over 100 goals already at home this year, and we've managed to punt them all. There was two pucks from the game on Saturday, against Cardiff Devils. We had 56 emails. 56 emails for two pucks.
I'll be honest, Simon, I would have just got 50 pucks and taped them all, mate.
No, it's I've got to do it also. I'm not going to go through it to every single. But you know what? It's the OSC. I don't do an awful lot. Johnny Cook, Johnny and Christine really, put the work in behind it. Obviously, Andrew Owens now. You've got Kathy, Michael, James, Ryan. I'm probably Susan and Nicola. So, they put all the work in. They're the ones that are standing at the desk every week. It certainly doesn't go amiss. They know that I can't get down to the games. Get down to the desk during games because I've got other stuff to do upstairs for the Giants TV. But they, they're there every single game. Before, they're there for 5:30. They're getting everything ready. Whether it's puck sales or whether it's selling equipment, whatever it is, they're still standing there. They're giving their time up for free for the sake of trying to help the club out. So it's a massive, massive thank you to everybody involved.
I think it's brilliant. You see the pictures of the guys getting the bags of food when they arrive to give them a taste of the province. It's brilliant to see.
They've got to go and do all that shopping. Do you know what I mean? They go out to their Tesco's or Spar, whatever it may be, and they pick all. And the likes of Smo and Kevin Rain got the last one there. It's time and everybody's got jobs. Do you know what I mean? It's the same as us. Time we put into the podcast and Giants TV and what have you as well. It's everybody's got their roles behind it. And without the volunteers at the Belfast Giants, I couldn't care less about the rest of the clubs. But without the volunteers at the Belfast Giants, this club would be in a much, much worse place.
Davey?
And of course, on Saturday night, Simon, I've already been speaking to one of the OSC members there, our members, committee members, and they were saying that they would have more of the prints from William Cherry available for purchase. So, and as Adam Kiefer said, these guys won't be here forever. Some of them won't be back in Belfast. So you've only got a few weeks to get a picture of your favourite guy and get it signed before he disappears off maybe forever. So, don't be the guy that said, "Oh, I wish I'd got that done when he was in Belfast." Get it done now.
You said a couple of really great photographs too, didn't
I? I only sent them. William Cherry took them, mate.
Absolutely.
As I said the other night, he's the only player in this team who scores every shot he takes. So, he's absolutely fantastic at what he does.
That one he had with Higgy literally sitting, back to back, if you want to put it that way, on Ben Bounds was incredible. And you know, obviously the one with Darcy celebrating, he's just phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. But you're 100% right. We'll have those photographs on Sunday, ready to go. And I'm pretty sure we've got them signed this time as well. We were hoping to get them signed for Saturday night, but just didn't get them in time. So they'll be ready to go on Sunday. First come, first serve. None of them are getting held up.
We're very grateful to William Cherry as well on kingdomofthegiants.com. Oh, yeah. Lets us use some brilliant photographs in regards to the game reports we do. But yeah, anything more, David?
Yes, I have one final piece so we can all then go to bed. Well, actually, I'm going to go and jump on the bike for an hour, but before I do that, we need to wish good luck to a former junior Belfast Giants D-man, 21-year-old Jamie Scott. I don't know if the name's familiar to anybody, but Jamie plays his hockey over in Sheffield at the minute for the Steel Dogs, and yeah. He is going to the
Siberia.
Yeah, he's going. Place is called the tournament's called the Universiade or something. It's in Krasnoyarsk in Siberia.
Well done.
Thank you, Simon. The representative in the 29th winter, pretty much winter Olympics for universities. And Jamie's the only Northern Ireland born player to make the team, and it's actually a second time in the roster. One of over 3,000 athletes, and there's 11 winter sports, obviously. Easy, but they reckon there's going to be over 100,000 spectators at it. They reckon there'll be 1.5 billion TV viewers. It's classed actually as the second largest winter multi-sport held in the world after the Olympics themselves. So, you know, Jamie's got a couple of teammates there from the Steel Dogs on the team. He's got a Just Given page, which I will throw up on either my Twitter or the AVFTV Twitter. If you feel like you've got a couple of self-funded and families and friends and stuff, having to support him to get out there. And you know, Jamie's doing really well over there in England and at university as well, doing his studies. So it's great to see a young lad from Northern Ireland doing so well, and we wish him all the very, very best.
Yeah. David, can I just, there was something that was posted up on that ice hockey in Northern Ireland deal about the Gaston Cup. Is that right? I seen you comment on something on it.
For dear sake, I comment on all sorts of stuff.
I wasn't a Belfast Telegraph for a change.
Well, yeah, I'm always on. No, that's mate. The Telegraph's good for a wee troll.
It really is.
I remember them talking about the gas. I mean, 20 years ago, maybe 25 years ago. And I've something in the back of my mind that it was a guy called John Dick who was involved with the Lagan Valley Lands when the Ice Bowl first opened. Believe it or not, the Ice Bowl's opened 33 years this year.
Crazy.
But I think I'm not 100%, and I will chase this up, but I think he said that he had the Gaston Cup.
Who says? Sorry.
It was a guy called John Dick that was involved with the Lagan Valley Lands back when the Ice Bowl first opened. But he played in the King's Hall in the 40s and 50s. He must be in his 80s or 90s now. And I think he still goes skating once a week at the Ice Bowl.
I know who you mean.
Baldy-headed gentleman, absolutely exactly lovely guy.
Yep.
I'll see if I can. Bob Archibald knows him. I'll see if I can speak to Bob Archibald to see if there's a contact number for him.
I'll have a look back through that history. It's a really, really good page for anybody that is into, you know, their history of ice hockey, and it's called History of Ice Hockey in Northern Ireland. It's got a actually try and link it on the AVFTB page.
Yeah.
They've got a picture of Simon Kitchen's Castlereagh night shirt on. You have to turn your phone sideways to get it all in, but it's a picture of the <game. laughs> but I'll look up that Gaston Cup one and see what that was about.
On that bombshell, thanks very much, boys. The games our Fife Wednesday free sports game of the week, 7:30 p.m. Sheffield away, 7 p.m. You can get that on Steelers TV. And then we are back at the SSE. Well, I think after those two away games, we've only got the cup final and two other away games away from the SSE, and everything else is at home. But it's on 4 p.m. on Sunday against the Manchester Storm. Thanks to Jordan Smotherman, Adam Keefe, and Aaron Murphy for their time. Thank you to everybody who sent in their TFAs, their comments, the three-word weekends, who've gotten contact through the course of the whole season so far, at AVFTB on Twitter. You can get us on Facebook. You can go to kingdomofthegiants.com and get all the stuff there, or post-game interview, soundcloud.com/AVFTB, and all the likes. Mr. McGimsey and Mr. Kitchen, thank you for your time.
Don't forget, Noel Gillespie, David, or Paddy, sorry, because his article's brilliant.
Oh, some brilliant, brilliant stuff there from Noel Gillespie on the whiteboard. So hopefully we'll get something from him with regards to the weekend ahead. But yep, looking forward to this week's games. And wherever you are this week, we hope you enjoy your hockey. And we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge.
Social Podcast Network.